Our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Blessings, Steve, as you share God's word with us.
So this scripture got me pondering, like, what would it be like for Jesus? What was it like for Jesus growing up? Like, how did he develop his sense of identity, his wisdom? What's it like for the Son of God to grow up and kind of grow into his calling? So here's some things I wonder about when I think about Jesus in his early days. When did he come to realize he was the Son of God? You know, with the hear ye email I sent out, I sent a little, film clip. And, you know, who knows what happened, but that's an attempt to depict Mary sitting down under a tree with Jesus, telling him about how she was visited by the angels, the miraculous nature of his birth, and so forth. And at least at that point, she revealed that he was the Son of God. You know, how did that really happen? How did Jesus begin to grow into that understanding that he was God's Son? How did he develop, even by the age of 12, according to the scripture, he had already this deep understanding that amazed the teachers there in the temple. Was it just his divine nature bursting out? You know, you can't help but know everything. And that reminded me of one of my favorite Far Side cartoons. Is a depiction of a contest, like a quiz bowl kind of thing. And it was God and some other guy. And the score was like 500,000 for God to zero for this other man. You know, God is omniscient. God knows all, as we understand. How much of that was that just raw understanding coming through in Jesus? Like, somehow that doesn't feel right, because he was born as a child. There must have been some level of growing in understanding as he went along. Did he have this unusual desire to understand scriptures? And almost like that in like Psalm 19, Psalm 119, the law of the Lord is wonderful and perfect. It revives the soul. Like, did he have that kind of spirit already in him to want to understand the scriptures? Did Mary and Joseph, just picture yourself as Mary and Joseph, like, how do we raise the one who is to be the Messiah? You know, but did they push him early to meet with the rabbis and to learn the Holy Scriptures? You know, what was going on? How did Jesus develop over the years? And then how did he already seem to have some sense of a calling, like where he says, "Why are you surprised that I'm here? Wouldn't it be natural that I'm in my Father's house?" And even the more literal translation of that is, "Don't you know that I'd be about my Father's business or my Father's interests?" Like, so already somehow he had some kind of a sense of calling. And was that a feeling of obligation? You know, I'd rather be running around the marketplace in Jerusalem, but I should be here, you know, studying these scriptures. How much did Mary and Joseph feel that obligation? Like, we have to somehow get Jesus prepared for his mission. Or was it more of a sense of loving, trusting, loyalty? And Mary and Joseph would have been great examples of this, right? Just what we know from the Christmas story of Mary saying, you know, I'm your handmaiden, you know, may it be just as you said, you know, I'm willing, I'm loyal and willing to your calling, and Joseph being obedient to what the angel said to him. So, yeah, how did his sense of call and mission and who he was, his identity and what he was brought to this, sent to this earth to do, like how did that grow over the years? And the other thing I think about is how much already at 12 was he able to integrate the difficulties and the injustices that he saw in life, like way more than I ever saw on my 12th birthday and probably even up to this day. I think Jesus maybe has seen more. How much did he understand, even at that age, that he was the only one that survived that slaughter in Bethlehem when Herod sent his troops? You know, and what did that do for Jesus to understand that? What was it like for Jesus to live that life of poverty, growing up in Nazareth, to live under Roman occupation, to see crucifixions along the roadways that the Romans would do so the people would know, like, don't mess with us. This is what happens. How much did that already begin to integrate into what he was trying to understand about God? And just an observation that whether it's here or even as he began his ministry 18 or so years later, it seems like even though he had all this knowledge, he didn't become a legalist. Like, I know everything about the law. You better measure up to it. But somehow there must have been also growing with his knowledge, a love for his father where the spirit of the law came through. He knew the heart of God where the spirit of the law came through and not just the letter of the law. So just some thoughts about what was going on during those years leading up to Jesus's ministry. And so my conclusion, not my conclusion of the sermon, but my conclusion of those reflections is this is what I see going on in Jesus's early life, a growing sense of my father, this unique relationship he had with God, a deepening wisdom and understanding that grew and grew over the years, and an emerging sense of call and purpose on his life. Not that it was all figured out probably by age 12, but already in this scripture, you could see ingredients of that already coming forth from this 12-year-old. Another observation I thought about is we talk about Jesus as this boy, 12-year-old, but we also talk about Mary as being 14 or so when the angel came to her and when she, was carrying Jesus in her womb. So, just interesting to think about these ages. So anyway, at the start of this new year, it can be a time when, again, we refocus our lives. When we think about, as a person, where am I at on the journey of life that God has for me? You know, and to kind of re-envision, reimagine that in this new year. And think, who are we, where are we at as a congregation? Also on the journey that God has for us. And so kind of taking what kind of the work that was going on in Jesus's heart and life and thinking about that for us, this is what I would want to challenge us with too, to focus in, to refocus as we move forward into this new year. Thinking about our personal relationship with God. That close, intimate walk that we can have with the God of love. How are we deepening in our wisdom and understanding? Listening, asking questions, having that kind of an attitude. And how are we sharpening our sense of call, our purpose for being here in this world amongst the people in which we live? So just some thoughts about that. How can we, first of all, nurture in our own lives a deeper relationship or a walk with God. How does that come out as gratitude and worship and obedience and love and devotion? We're created to know God. We're created to be known by God. We're created to love God. We're created to be loved by God. We're created to walk with God, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. J.I. Packer says, or writes, one can know a great deal about God without much knowledge of God. Knowledge in the sense of a relational knowledge. One can know a great deal about godliness without much knowledge of God. Those, he continues, those who know God have great energy for God. Those who know God have great thoughts about God. Those who know God have great boldness for God. Those who know God have great contentment in God. And John quotes Jesus as saying, this is eternal life, that you would know God, the one true God, and Jesus who he has sent. And eternal life there, not just everlasting life, but the one who has found true quality of life, depth of life, fullness of life, is the one who has come to know God and Jesus whom he has sent. And then the second thing is how can we have a deepening understanding and deepening wisdom in our own lives, and kind of that attitude of hungering for righteousness or hearing the word of God, the ways of God for our lives. Listening, Jesus demonstrated that in our story, and Jesus was one who was always inviting people to listen, you know, and to listen deeply. And those of you who have ears to hear, let them hear these things that I'm speaking. Here's a quote. In the New Testament, this word for listening is often used to describe the act of hearing the word of God, hearing the teachings of Jesus, hearing the good news of the gospel. It implies not just auditory reception, like I hear these words, but an attentiveness and an obedience to what's heard. So there's this active listening. There's an obedience that responds as we ponder these things. And asking questions. In those days, rabbis would often teach by asking questions, and Jesus was the master at asking questions to try to draw a response, to have his disciples ponder these things. There can be questions, thinking about Jesus in the temple, it could be questions just pursuing understanding. But it can also be questions wrestling with the difficulties of life, the difficulties of Scripture, you know. And we might think, how much would a 12-year-old have questions about life? But again, I think he saw a lot, even in those first 12 years, as far as poverty and injustice and oppression. So what was being raised in Jesus' life? How did he see himself as somehow God's answer to these things? But out of these questions comes wisdom, as we see here. They were amazed at Jesus' wisdom. Or Sophia would be the Greek or biblical word. And this idea of Sophia, which often Jesus is described, one way to describe Jesus is wisdom. He's the embodiment of wisdom. But it encompasses both practical and spiritual understanding, contrasted with human wisdom. You know, the book of Proverbs is all about that. This is human understanding. This is God's wisdom. Human understanding, which is often limited or flawed, as opposed to God's. Divine wisdom is characterized by insight into God's purposes and the ability to live out God's purposes. It's a gift from God for whoever is pursuing these things with all earnestness. So, in the Greek world, Roman world, wisdom was all about philosophical understandings and being able to speak philosophically, having intellectual understanding. But in the biblical sense of wisdom, is a lot more about moral and spiritual pursuits or understanding the ways of God and living them out. So we can philosophize about goodness, about virtue, about love, Or we can have the wisdom to know how to offer that, how to live virtue, how to offer love and mercy and justice to others. We can complain or shake our fists at the world's troubles, or wisdom has us ask, God, where are you present in this? And where are you calling me to be your light in that darkness and in that struggle? Jesus was growing in this kind of wisdom, and we can too. And then the third thing, sharpening our call, our sense of call. You know, Jesus is, I must be all about my Father's business or my Father's interests. How are we developing this sense of priority in our own lives? You know, as far as, what is God's calling upon me in this family, in this school, in this workplace, in this church? You know, what, how have you uniquely prepared and called and sent me into your purposes in the life that is right here before me, especially as we think about 2025. Jesus seemed to have, again, a sense of priority. Like, it's important for me to be in this place speaking to these teachers, because that's part of whatever I understand about the call of God on my life. How are we reflecting and prioritizing what seems to be the call upon my life, the purposes of God that he's leading me into? How can this be a time to focus that more clearly in my life? So, those are the things I'd like to share with us, to call us to developing that deeper relationship personally with God, deepening our understanding, sharpening our sense of call and purpose. And let me pray as a reflection of this scripture today. Lord, as we move into this new year and at any time, may we deepen our loyalty, our love, our faith, our pursuit of you as our good and saving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Give us a heart to learn, to listen, to pursue, to ask questions, to wrestle, and also give us a clarified view of the particular call you have upon our life. Thank you that you invite us into your wonderful and saving purposes for this world. So just go with us individually and as a church as we go deeper with you. In Jesus' name, amen.